I want to show you connections between holomorphic dynamics and group theory, and I use example of Thurston maps and Hubbard's twisted rabbit problem to illustrate these connections. So let me make some quick definitions. A branch covering is a local homeomorphism at every point except for a finite set of critical points. So we have a finite to one covering map, and a topological, and S2 is sphere. And topological polynomial is a branch covering with one total invariant point, which we call point at infinity. So a post-critically finite branch covering or Thurston map is, as usual, such branch covering that the orbits of critical points are finite, and the union of all forward orbits is called post-critical set. And that I use this notation all the time. So, classical definition, two Thurston maps are combinatorially equivalent if they are conjugate up to homotopies. More explicitly, if there exist homeomorphisms which make this diagram commutative, but so it's like conjugation, but we require that H1 and H2 are not equal, but just isotopic relative to postcritical set, postcritical sets through homotopies constant on postcritical set. Okay, and now we take the rather small, so to say, examples. We take quadratic polynomials whose critical point belongs to a cycle of length 3. There are three such quadratic polynomials: the rabbit, the duodecimal rabbit, the airplane, and the conjugate rabbit, which we call anti-rabbit. So what is twisted rabbit? We take the rabbit and twist around its ears. So we take the den twist around the two the postcritical points C and C square plus C. So the den twist is such a homeomorphism. We take an annulus and rotate inner, make a full turn of the inner circle, for instance. And I take this den twist. And now Thurston theorem, that's not completely straightforward, but Thurston theorem implies that if you compose the rabbit with any homeomorphism fixing the postcritical set pointwise, then this map will have no obstructions, and it will be combinatorially equivalent to a polynomial. And since the critical point belongs to a cycle of length 3, the only possibility is that this is either rabbit or airplane or the anti-rabbit. So the question is, to what it is, what is the twisted rabbit? What it is equivalent. And more generally, well, there are two kinds of questions. We can look at this cyclic group of homeomorphisms and find an answer as a function of M, or more generally, we want to find an answer for any homeomorphism fixing this postcritical set pointwise, so for any element of the mapping class group. Well, what is the twisted rabbit? And here is the answer which you get when you type this in Google. So our answer is also quite nice. The answer is to the first question about the cyclic group generated by the twist is the following. You take the power, the M, write down it in base 4 expansion, and look whether you see digits 1 or 2. If you see digit 1 or 2, then it is airplane. If you don't, then for non-negative M, it is rabbit, and for negative M, it is anti-rabbit. So you see that the answer is quite aperiodic. You see that most things are airplanes. In some sense, you have a sort of Cantor set of rabbits, and the rest is airplane. Uh, Well, but here, one remark, that here we use phoretic expansions without sign. So minus 1 is written as infinite number of, infinite times 3. So it is a twist of, this twist is the anti-rabbit. So, what is the main tool we used? This is the iterated monodromy group. So the general definition is the following. You take arcwise connected, locally arcwise connected topological space, or more generally an orbis space, and its open subset M1, and a finite covering map. Not branch covering, we will delete branch locus. So in our case, we have M will be our sphere without postcritical set, and M1 is its preimage. Since it is postcritical set, it is invariant. M1 will be a subset of M. And now we take a base point in the space and take all preimages of the base point under iterations of the function. It will be a rooted tree. I will show it on the next slide. And the fundamental group will act on this rooted tree of preimages in a natural way. So here is the picture. This is the case of degree 2. You have the base point. The base point has two preimages. Then each of the preimages has two more preimages, and so on. And we connect every preimage with its image by an arc. And we get in this way a rooted tree. Rooted binary tree in this case. Now, if we have an element of the fundamental group, a loop, then, say, on this level, we can take preimages of this loop, and for every preimage of the base point, there will be exactly one preimage of the loop starting at that point. And you get some paths between preimages of the base point. And here you draw the preimages of the loop under second iteration of the function, under third iteration of the function, and so on. And this oriented loop will give, its preimages will be oriented paths between preimages of the base point, and these oriented paths, these arrows will define permutations of the levels of the tree. You will get this, the classical monodromy action, monodromy group. And if you take it all, everything, if you take everything together, you get an action of the fundamental group on this tree. It will be, in general, not faithful. And you take the quotient by the kernel of the action. So in other words, you take all automorphisms of the rooted tree, which you get in this way. And the set of all such automorphisms will be a group, which we call iterated monodromy group of the mapping F. It is pretty easy to see that iterated monodromy... Okay, the next is easy to see. If two topological polynomials are combinatorially equivalent, then the iterated monodromy groups are coincide in a rather strong sense. For instance, their action on the rooted tree are conjugate. Fortunately, iterated monodromy groups can be computed as groups generated by automata. It means that one can label the vertices of the tree of preimages by words over finite alphabet in such way that every loop will act on the set of words as a finite automaton. And this is there is a very explicit way to do it. And moreover, in this case, there is a canonical, in the case of topological polynomial, unlike in the general case of rational function, in case of topological polynomial, there is a canonical way to do it. And you get an automaton which does not, which depends only on the Thurston class. Yeah. Well, it is. Well, I will show you a picture of automaton next. And this makes possible to distinguish specific Thurston maps, and that's what we did at first. We used computer packages to compute these finite automata and solve this question for small degrees of the twist. Say we managed to do it from minus 7 to 7. But if you know the answer... groups are the same, of course, and their actions of the trees are conjugate. But if you take this canonical automaton, which is defined specifically using arcs along the circle at infinity, then you will distinguish them. So here are some automata. So you have the vertices of these graphs are states of automaton. The arrows show transitions. Here the labels are elements of the fundamental group. And black, sorry. Black states are the states which changed the letters of the alphabet. So we have alphabet, sorry, we have input-output alphabet of two symbols, 0 and 1. We have states. The arrows show transition. And so, for instance, if we are in this state and get 1 on input, we go to this state. If we get 0 on input, we go to this state. And since it's black, it means that if we get 1 on input, we give 0 on output, and if we get 0 on input, we get 1 on output. And white states do not change letters. So if we have 0 on input here, we go to this state, and give 0 on output. If you have 1 on input, then we go to the so-called trivial state, which is not shown in this picture, and that trivial state does not change the words. Okay, in any way, anyway, we have some finite automata which are canonically associated with iterated monodromy groups. We can compute them for any given case. And since the automata, this automaton corresponds to the rabbit, this is anti-rabbit, and this is airplane, since they are different, we can distinguish them. Yes, automaton accepts a string and gives a string on output, and it the set of strings is also in a rooted tree in a natural way, and then automaton shows where an element of the fundamental groups of a fundamental group maps a word. So you have a word, a vertex of the tree. You give it an input, you get some word on the output, and that word on the output is the image of that vertex under the action of the element of the fundamental group. So these automata describe the action of the fundamental group on the tree of words, which is isomorphic to the tree of pre-images. No, that's rabbit, anti-rabbit, rabbit, anti-rabbit, and airplane. Yeah, so alpha, beta, gamma are generators of the fundamental group of punctured plane. And here alpha, beta, gamma, beta, alpha are just elements of the fundamental group. Yes, I've chosen specific.
Each of those automata you have are just the action of some, what it represents the action of what detail?
Each of the states of the automaton represents action of some specific element of the fundamental group. So let me tell how it acts. So for instance, you have alpha, and you get you want to see where alpha moves the word 000.
I understand that, but if I wanted to say what is the action of gamma?
This is a generating set. So you have gamma, beta, alpha. You know how gamma, beta, alpha acts. You know how alpha acts. Okay, you know how gamma, beta, alpha acts, you know how beta, alpha acts, and then the quotient is how gamma acts. I have not drawn the whole fundamental group, because I will get infinite automaton. But what is good about that infinite automaton, that infinite automaton has a finite core, and this is such that if you start at some state in that automaton, you will eventually be trapped in that core. And these are these cores. So they are canonically associated with that infinite automaton. They are computable, and you can compute them and use them to distinguish certain classes. No. No. It depends on nothing. It depends on some specific clever canonical choice of labeling of the rooted tree, of the tree of pre-images by words. That's the only on what it depends. You must label the tree of pre-images by words in some specific way, which I don't have time to explain. And if you do it, and it is possible to do it for polynomials, these pictures will depend on nothing more. Okay, and then we use this to prove, to answer the question for specific elements of the mapping class group, but also to prove the following, that if you twist by 4nth power of t, it will be the same, it will be combinatorial equivalent to the twist by n. If you twist by 4n plus 1, it will be just twist by 1. If you twist by 4n plus 2, it will be twist by 1. And 4n plus 3 is twist by n. And then if you have some number m, you use these rules. You decrease the number m, the exponent m. And eventually you will be trapped either, you will arrive either to 0 or to 1 to, or to minus 1. And then you use the previous technique to decide what is what. And 0 is rabbit, 1 is airplane, and minus 1 is anti-rabbit. And in this way you see that the answer is as in the theorem. Okay, how to give answer on the general question about the elements of the mapping class group. If you take the... Mysterious, I don't know. So let's take the mapping class group. It is generated, it's a free group generated by such two twists. So this is our original twist T, and there is another generator of the mapping class group. And so we consider pure mapping class group, so which fixes the postcritical set pointwise. And then we take the following so-called virtual endomorphism of the group. We take a group of index, a subgroup of index 2 in the mapping class group, generated by T square S and conjugate of S, and consider a homomorphism from the subgroup from H to G, which acts in this way. S and T are generators of the mapping class group. It's another twist. It's twist around 0 and C, C square plus U. No, alpha, beta were generators of the fundamental group, and these are generators of the mapping class group. Now, we proved that G composed with rabbit and rabbit composed with psi of G are homotopic. And then simple algebra shows that if you extend, psi is defined only on half of the group, but you can extend it to the whole group by this rule. So you apply psi. If G is not in H, then GT inverse is in H, you can apply and then multiply by T. And then simple algebraic computations show that if you consider this map, then rabbit composites G and rabbit composites psi bar of G are combinatorial equivalent. So we get a dynamical system on the mapping class group, whose orbits are inside Thurston classes. And what is good about this, well, and we proved this, the previous equivalence using that dynamical system. If you apply psi bar three times to each of these, you get these. And the good thing about this dynamics on the mapping class group, that psi bar is contracting on this discrete group, in the sense that for any element of G, some iterate of G will be trapped in this set. And here T and 1 and T are fixed under psi, and this is a cycle of length 3. So, and psi bar preserves Thurston classes. So if you want to decide what is rabbit composed with G, you iterate map psi bar on G, and it is contracting, and in logarithmic time, so to say, you will come here. Actually, the length of a group element, the element of the mapping class group under psi bar is contracted roughly by coefficient of cubic root of 4. So each time you apply psi bar, you decrease length by a factor of cubic root of 4. And so very quickly you will see to what it is equivalent, because you know that this is rabbit, this is airplane, this is anti-rabbit. Okay, here is a partial, almost group three proof of the same, which was found later, and it is specific for this case because it's a small example. So let me remind you definition of Teich-Muller space in this situation. So Teich-Muller space modeled on this for this postcritical set It is the set of all homeomorphisms identified if there is a Möbius transformation H such that H composes tau 1 is isotopic to tau 2 relative to the postcritical set. And another way to look at it, that Teichmuller space is the universal covering space of the moduli space, where moduli space is the set of all injective maps from the postcritical set into the complex sphere modulo postcompositions by Möbius transformations. And the covering map in this case is just restriction. Okay, now when I will write F, it will be some twisted rabbit. Now, in our case, postcritical set is infinity 0 c squared plus c, and we can normalize postcomposing by Möbius transformation every element of the Teichmuller space in such a way that infinity is infinity, 0 is 0, but c is 1. Point c is mapped to 1. Then every point of the moduli space is uniquely determined by the image of c squared plus c, which must be a point on the sphere different from infinity, 1, and 0. So we get that moduli space is just sphere without 3 points. Okay, and now it's a piece of original proof by Duady and Hubbard of the Thurston theorem that there is a map on the Teichmuller space associated with twisted rabbit F, which is defined in the following way, that for every element of the Teichmuller space, there exists a uniquely defined element tau prime and a rational function F tau, making this diagram commutative, so it's pullback of the complex structure. And this map, this pullback map on the Teichmuller space has at most one fixed point. And if you have a fixed point, then tau, then F is combinatorially equivalent to F tau. That's just definition. Okay, and the fixed point, if it exists, is limit of iterations of the pullback map. Let us compute pullback map for the twisted rabbit, actually on the moduli space. So we normalize elements of the Teichmuller space in the way I told, that C is mapped to 1. Then the tau and its pullback tau prime, their projections onto the moduli space are uniquely defined by the images of C squared plus C. Okay, so we have this picture. Now, F is a branch covering such that 0 is the critical point, 0 is mapped to C, C is mapped to C squared plus C, and C squared plus C is mapped to 0. And if you look here, you get that 0 is, that F tau is a rational function such that infinity is totally invariant, so it's a polynomial. 0 is the critical point because 0 is mapped to 0 here. Critical value is 1 because C is mapped to 1 by our normalization. 1 is mapped to P1, and P0, which is image of C squared plus C under tau prime, is mapped to 0. So you can figure out what is this rational function, F tau. We see that since 0 is critical point and 1 is critical value, it is quadratic polynomial of the form A z squared plus 1. And from this condition, you get that AP squared plus 1 is 0. So A is minus 1 over P0 squared. Therefore, P1 from this is 1 minus 1 over P0 squared. And F tau is this polynomial. So you can compute projection of the pullback map onto the moduli space. So we prove the following, that the correspondence, which is inverse of the pullback map, is projected onto the moduli space to this rational function. So this, the inverse of this rational function is the projection of the pullback map on the Teichmuller space. So if tau is a fixed point of the pullback map, then our twisted rabbit is equivalent to this quadratic polynomial where P is the corresponding fixed point of this rational function on the moduli space. That is one special situation, and another special situation that it is simple because moduli space is one-dimensional, and you can figure out. I I'm almost sure that for general polynomials it's not true. Well, actually, no, we have even an example that in general, projection of the pullback map is just a correspondence. It's not a rational function.
You can't possibly say that there is a map for moduli space that is covered by sigma
F. Of the inverse. By the inverse. In general, it's not true. But yes. In this case, it is true, as we have just seen. Since we want to twist rabbit, we take the base point of the modular space, the rabbit, and here is our generators of the... So the mapping class group is identified in a canonic way with the fundamental group of the moduli space. So the loops, the generators of the mapping class group, which I showed you, which I use, S and T, correspond precisely to these generators of the fundamental group of the mapping class group. Sorry, of the fundamental group of the moduli space. So this is the Julia set of the rational function 1 minus 1 over z square. This is the twist S. This is the twist T. By the way, here, the twist which I used corresponds to loops in negative direction here. Now, these dotted paths are preimages of the loops S and T under the rational function P, and 1 minus 1 over z square. And now we get an interpretation of the virtual endomorphism psi, that psi is just the preimage of loops under the rational function on the moduli space. So you see that if you take T square and take its preimage, you get this loop, which is S inverse T inverse. If you take S, its preimage is, one of the preimages is here, it's T. So we take the preimage which starts at T0. And if you take conjugate of S by T, you get a loop which goes here. So it will be trivial. And now, if you look carefully at the identification of the mapping class group with the fundamental group of the moduli space, you will easily see that that it's true that if you take precomposition and then pull back, then this will be homotopic to this. That's just the definition of the mapping class group and its identification with the fundamental group on the moduli space, and the proposition which I showed you before. No, for three, well, I think we have an example of a rational function with four postcritical points for which it is a correspondence and not a function. Yes. Yes. Okay, so if you look more carefully, you can interpret now iterations of the pullback map in the sense of paths in the moduli space in the following way. That if you have an element of the mapping class group and you take the corresponding loop in the moduli space, then the limit of the iterations of the pullback map will correspond to the end of the path which you get when you take the loop, takes its preimage, and takes the preimage of the preimage, and so on, and take these preimages in such way that each next preimage is a continuation of the previous, then you will get an infinite path, and its end is the limit, its projection of the limit. So if you take the original question, so this is our twist T. Now this is one preimage, this is next preimage, and so on. You see that if you take T, this path will converge to this fixed point of the rational function, which corresponds to the airplane. If you take T inverse, you get such path of preimages of the loop, which converge to this point. So there's another way to interpret iteration of this map psi bar. The map psi bar was on the mapping class group. It was abstract, discrete dynamical system on a group. Here you can interpret this psi bar in these terms, and this is a method which is not algebraic, it's harder to program it, but still, this is a method to solve the twisted rabbit question in general. You take any loop, you take its preimages, and see where these paths converge. In some sense, this is a version of the spider algorithm. An interesting thing associated with this business is the following. We can put together iteration on the moduli space and on the plane into one map. So this is the polynomial, and this is the parameter of the moduli space. So we take the moduli space, we take the planes over every point of the moduli space, we take the plane with the corresponding complex structure, and then the branch coverings become polynomials, which will be these first coordinates, and this is the map on the moduli space. You can write it in homogeneous coordinates, so it extends to the projective plane, and it's postcritically finite. So the postcritical set is just the union of these six lines. So z is 0 or 1, z is equal to p is 0, p1, and line at infinity. And it is hyperbolic. So now the Julia set of F, since you have this cross-product structure of the dynamical system, is projected onto the Julia set of this rational function. And the fibers are Julia sets of polynomial iterations. Like this, you iterate different polynomials. This polynomial iteration is just the first coordinate of that two-dimensional iteration. Okay, and here is a movie showing the Julia set of that two-dimensional map. So you have these rabbits and airplanes. So this picture shows you the moduli space and the projection of the Julia set onto the moduli space. And now you see how the point in the moduli space travels, and this is the fiber of the Julia set, fiber of that projection of the Julia set. This is a movie programmed by Bertoldi. It's the Julia set of this non-autonomous iteration. But for a countable dense set of parameters, it is a Julia set of some polynomial of high degree. Yes. I just showed you this. You have these polynomials, FP1, FP2, FP3, which are just the first coordinates of this map. And P1, P2 is a forward orbit of P on the iterations of a rational function. Oh, sorry. Okay, now we can associate groups with this. You can do the backward iteration. So basically, you take backward iteration of this two-dimensional rational function, but you look only at the first coordinate. You will get backward iteration of some polynomials of some quadratic maps. And you can compute the iterated monodromy group of this backward iteration. You again get some binary rooted tree. What's interesting about this set that you get an uncountable set of groups, which are all free generated, but the isomorphism classes in this set of groups are countable. So you get uncountably many free generated groups. This is not in use. But what is interesting here is that these groups are in some sense indistinguishable. If you take one group in this family and another group in this family, which may be non-isomorphic, but if you take any generating set of one group and any set of relations and inequalities between them, any finite set of relations and inequalities, you can find a generating set in the other group with the same set of relations and inequalities. So if you look only at finite number of relations between the elements of these groups, they are the same. These groups are the same. So if you draw Kelly graphs, you can draw a Kelly graph of one group and take any as big ball as you wish, you can find a generating set of another group with the same ball in the Kelly graph. And they have other interesting properties also in distinguishability, like they have the same set of quotients, the same lattice of normal subgroups, and so on. But still, you get uncountably many different of them. Okay, and now I want to give answer what you get when you twist this square plus I. This question was also posed in a paper by Duardi and Hubbard where they proved Thurston's theorem. I take these two generators of the mapping class group, twist around these two postcritical points, and this twist around these two postcritical points. Now, if you do the same computation for the moduli space, you see that in this case, the inverse of pullback map is projected onto this rational function, which is a kind of Latte example. So if you take the corresponding two-dimensional iteration, you get this, which will be also postcritical finite with the same postcritical set. And accidentally, this map was studied 15 years, well, it was published in 92, but it was studied earlier by Furness and Siboney. So what is the answer? What is the answer on that question of twisting this square plus I? Let's consider the following group of affine transformations of the complex plane. There's an algebraic definition of this is semi-direct product of Z2 and cyclic group of order 4, but more geometric is that it is group of such affine transformations of the complex plane. You multiply Z by power of I and add a Gaussian integer. So it is the group of all orientation-preserving isometries of the integral lattice, of the lattice of Gaussian integers. So you have rotation around the origin of order 4, so by pi over 2, and translation. And it is the fundamental group of the orbifold associated, of the Thurston orbifold associated with this rational function. So this rational function this rational function actually is not a branch but a genuine covering, self-covering of that orbifold. So if you take the quotient of C by the action of this group, you get a sphere with three singular points, and this rational function is conjugate to self-covering of this orbifold defined by multiplication of C by I plus 1, I think, yes. So the mapping, the moduli space is also sphere without 0, 1, and infinity, which is post-critical set of this rational function. So the moduli space is a subset of the orbifold, and inclusion of the moduli space into the orbifold induces a homomorphism, a surjective homomorphism of the fundamental groups. So they get a natural homomorphism from the fundamental group of the moduli space onto the fundamental group of the orbifold. And in generators, which I showed you before, it is given by this map. So A is mapped to the affine map minus Z plus 1, and B is mapped to rotation around. So A is rotation around 1/2 by 180 degrees, and B is rotation around 0 by pi over 2. So in the case of twisting this square plus I, the answer can be one of the following three possibilities are given for us. That twist of this square plus I with G is either this square plus I or this square minus I, or it is abstracted, or there is no polynomial which is equivalent to that twisted polynomial. So the answer depends only on the image of the homomorphism in that affine group. So if G is an element of the mapping class group, it corresponds to some element of the fundamental group of the punctured sphere, it corresponds to some, it is mapped to some element of the fundamental group of the orbifold, and the answer depends only on the image in the fundamental group of the orbifold. And this is the answer. So let me explain you the answer. If you take the action of that affine group on the plane, then that action has a fundamental domain, which is such triangle. And you get then a tiling of the plane by these triangles, and the group acts on this, on the tiles of this tiling, and it acts freely. So if you say that this is the origin, then for any other triangle in this tiling, there exists exactly one element of that, of the affine group, which we consider, which maps that original triangle to that given triangle. So we have a bijection between the elements of this group and the triangles in the tiling. So it is convenient to represent the group as set of these triangles. So in our picture, this is the original. So this corresponds to identity. Say this corresponds to B, this corresponds to B squared, then B cubed. Sorry, no. This. Okay, this corresponds to A, for instance. No, I'm again wrong. This corresponds to A. So you rotate by 180 degrees around one half, and this will be around one half, and this will be A. Sorry, this is one half. So you rotate around one half. So this is A. And if you rotate by 90 degrees around zero, you are somewhere here, and this is B. Okay, so black triangles correspond to elements of the group who give us z square plus I. Red triangles correspond to z square minus I. And white triangles correspond to obstructed examples. So in this case, the picture is periodic with period 5. So I have 9 patterns here. So this is the fundamental pattern, which is repeated periodically. So in this case, the answer is periodic, and it can be formulated in terms of the mapping class group in the following way, that you have a group of order 100 and a homomorphism from the mapping class group onto the group of order 100. And the answer depends on the image of the element of the mapping class group in this group of order 100. So the answer is very different from the answer for the rabbit. It is periodic. And another interesting aspect is that obstructed maps, there is not one obstructed map, but there is an infinite set of pairwise non-equivalent obstructed maps in this case. So here is one of the examples of an obstructed map. So these two points are preimages of this point of C2. These two points are preimages of this point of C3. And C1 is this point is critical, is mapped to C1. And these rays are mapped to these rays. This defines this map uniquely up to homotopy. And it's easy to see that this curve is an obstruction, because it is mapped by this function by a degree 1 map, by a homomorphism. So it is an obstruction. And if you compose it with any twist, any non-trivial twist around obstruction, you get a different obstructed example. This is not the first example of infinite set of obstructed examples with the same dynamics of the postcritical set. The first example was by Kevin Pilgrim, which was very similar to this one, but in some our is much simpler and in some senses the smallest example in this of this kind. It's interesting also that now if you compute iterated monodromy group of this obstructed example, you will get a well-known group in group theory. So iterated monodromy group of obstructed polynomial, they will be the same as abstract groups. It will be a Grigorchuk group. It's not the Grigorchuk group which he defined in his original paper. It is a group, one of uncountably many groups which he defined in a subsequent paper. But it was also these groups were defined as a solution of a problem posed by John Milner in 1968. And there are rather tight bounds of on the growth of this group due to Anna Erfler, that growth of these groups, of the growth of the number of elements representable as products of length at most n in the generators has such bounds, where epsilon is any. And this is, these are the tightest existing bounds for groups of intermediate growth. All other bounds for any, for all other groups are much looser, and we don't know. We don't know so much about growth of the groups of intermediate growth. So there is no example of a group of intermediate growth whose growth is asymptotics of whose growth is computed explicitly, and this is the tightest. And even IMG of Z squared plus I has intermediate growth, as was shown by Kai Uwe Buchs and Rodrigo Perez recently. I wanted also to say that iterated monodomy groups of rabbit and airplane are also exotic from the point of view of classical group theory. They are the one of few examples. Actually, the first example of this kind is iterated monodomy group of Z squared minus 1, of a group which are amenable, so they have an invariant mean, but which cannot be constructed from obviously amenable groups, so from groups of sub-exponential growth. Groups of sub-exponential growth are amenable by a very simple argument, and there are standard group theoretical operations which preserve amenability, and it wasn't known for a long time if whether any amenable group can be constructed in this way from abelian and finite groups, and Gregorchuk group was the first example showing that it is not the case. And but Gregorchuk group is obviously amenable because it has exponential growth. But iterated monodomy groups of Z squared minus 1 and rabbit and airplane are amenable, but not obviously amenable in this sense. Okay, that's all what I wanted to. Yes.
So how this appearing?
We don't use it, but this fact is manifesting itself in contraction of the map psi. So one can prove contraction of map psi just algebraically, showing that you can observe that the length is shortening, but one can prove it using contraction of the map sigma. Yes.
More questions?
The growth for this word, but I think
we don't know. Has to be bigger. Bigger or smaller? I would guess it's... No, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. So, Erfler used rather clever methods of random walks and Poisson boundaries to give such bounds. So it's not so easy.
Of that
abstracted polynomial or any other abstracted polynomial which is twist of Z squared plus I, Erfler didn't use it. It's just she used automaton which generates it. But by the way, one can see that that polynomial is abstracted from the group, because there is a method of reconstructing the Julia set from iterated monodomy group. And if you reconstruct the Julia set from that group, of course there is no such Julia set because it's abstracted polynomial, but if you just apply the same procedure to the iterated monodomy group, you will get a segment. So like Julia set of z square minus 2. But if you look more carefully, you will see that as an orbifold, as an orbispace, it will have at one end a non-cyclic isotropy group, which is impossible for rational functions. In rational functions, all isotropy groups or orbifolds are cyclic. And that non-cyclic isotropy group is one of the ways to show that this is abstracted. Well, it's not so clear to understand how Thurston abstractions can be interpreted in terms of these iterated monodomy groups. So we are still working on this. I cannot give an answer now.